Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. The Israelites wandered aimlessly in the desert for over 40 years, but after the death of Moses, God finally allowed them to enter the Promised Land. In this short series of messages, Pastor Brian Grant will share some practical, life-changing principles Israel learned after moving to the victory side. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of his message.
Today we're starting a new mini-series, and I don't have any idea how long it's going to go, but we're going to go as the Lord leads us. But today we're starting a series which we've entitled Moving to the Victory Side. Moving to the victory side. It's good to be on the victory side, isn't it? You know, during my high school years, my high school was always on the victory side. And I'm not bragging about that because they never ever allowed me to play anything. So it really was about me. But you know, we won all three of the top sports competitions every single year. Some were blowouts. Like, those of you who watch soccer World Cup, you realize to win by 10, 12, 14 points is something. They don't usually score more than 3 or 4. We would beat these other schools by 10, 12 points, goals in soccer. It was just incredible to be a part of the stuff. But they didn't mind me being in the stands cheering, but nobody wanted me on the field. But you know, in my last year in high school, everything changed. For that year, a new competition between the high schools started that required no physical skills. And so I qualified. Well, you see, it didn't need physical skills because it was a quiz competition between all the high schools in Jamaica. And it was called the Schools Challenge Quiz, and it still is going on. And every week, that just started my year, it was aired live in prime time. Now, just in case you don't realize this is really big. There was only one television station. So guess what? We soon became stars because we were on prime time on the only TV station. And in case you were wondering why high schools are such a big deal, well, Jamaica only had one university at the time. So there was nobody for them to play against. You got the idea? There was only one team. The universities couldn't compete against each other because there was only one. So if you wanted competition in the country, it had to be among high schools. So high school competitions became like college competitions here. It was such a wonderful time. Well, we went through week after week of competition, and our school was one of the three who finally made it to the finals. And so that night, I can still remember, we were sweating buckets, partly because the lights that we were using back then were so incredibly bright and hot. But certainly we were sweating buckets. Everybody knew it was going to be a contest between two schools, our school, Kingston College, and another school, St. Hugh's High School. And we were really favored to win. And so with one question to go, we were up. And the final question, we had it. The final question was a science question. And since I was the captain of the team and the science person on the team, they left it to me to answer the question, and I confidently gave them the answer. Unfortunately, the judge and I had difference of opinion. We had a total difference of opinion, and so he ruled me wrong. And just like that, my dream, my only chance of winning anything in high school, totally fizzled. Losing in sports is no fun. But I tell you, losing in other areas of life is even worse. And it's no wonder that some people who have had a string of losses, it's no wonder that sometimes they feel like throwing in the towel. And perhaps I'm speaking to somebody this morning. It could be that you're here, or you may be listening to us or watching us online. I just want you to know that if you feel like you want to throw the towel in, God has a message for you today. For no matter how many losses you have had in life, there is always hope in Jesus. Am I right? And today, as we discuss this theme, moving to the victory side, it's my prayer that God will use His word to impact your life. I want to share with you three principles about moving to the victory side. And the first thing I want to bring to your attention this morning is that God often, put this down if you're taking notes, God often uses our losses to move us to the victory side. God often uses our losses to move us to the victory side. Look with me at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Moses, who was one of the greatest spiritual giants of the Bible, had just died, and God was now telling Joshua to get up and take over the leadership of Israel. Joshua was probably still reeling from the blow. For Moses was his hero, and Moses had just died about 30 days ago. His hero, this giant of a man, had just died, and now God is telling him, get up and take over. How would he manage? How could he possibly fill Moses' shoes? You know, perhaps I'm speaking to someone who you've been there, for you've lost someone who played an important role in your life. It may have been because of death. It may have been for some other reason. But regardless of the cause of your loss, something happened in your life that made you feel like your world was falling apart. Have you ever been there? So many have asked the question, God, why did you what? Why did you allow this to happen? But there's a very important principle here that I don't want you to miss. I'd like to show this to you. Turn one page back to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34 verses 1 through 6. And here's how it reads. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the south, in the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord, listen to this. Then the Lord said to him, that's to Moses, this is the land. He shows him. He says, this is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there. So Moses, a servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows his grave to this day. Write this down. The death of Moses was necessary for Israel to get to their destiny. I hope you don't miss that. As long as Moses was alive, Israel could not get to their destiny. They could not get to the promised land because God had already determined that Moses was not going to get there. Moses had to pass first. And one of the principles we need to realize is that, write this down, quite often God will use our losses to bring us to our destiny. Oh, sometimes we don't want to deal with that, but that's the reality, that sometimes God will use our losses to bring us to our destiny. So if you've been hit by a loss, oh, somebody here has been hit by losses. Oh, it might be a financial loss. It might be a relationship loss. I don't know what the issue is. But some of you here, some of us have been hit by losses. And God is telling us, don't give up, for he often will use losses in our lives to bring us to our destiny. Oh, if Joseph was here, he'd be shouting, preacher, preach it, because I am a witness. I have a testimony. You remember what happened to Joseph? For 13 years, Joseph had one big loss after another big loss. He ends up in jail. Oh, you name it, Joseph had it. But did you realize that God used all those losses to bring him to his destiny? Did you realize if Joseph was not in prison, God, listen, he orchestrates our lives and he will use even what we regard as losses to bring us to our destiny. And God not only brought Joseph to be prime minister of Egypt, I think it's very interesting how Joseph ties in with this story, because in chapter 34 of Deuteronomy, God says in verse number four, he says, I will bring it to give to you, I've give your descendants Abraham, Isaac. This is the land I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And in case you don't realize how Moses ties in there, you remember when that famine came, if the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had stayed in Canaan, they would have starved to death. But God used Moses, God used Joseph in Egypt, and they left Canaan and came to Egypt and were able to survive. And now God is using this Joseph, who he has caused all these losses. He has used them to preserve life for the ones he had made a commitment to, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he uses Joseph to preserve their dynasty, so to speak. Here's a verse of scripture that every Christian should memorize. I'm going to put it on the screen. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And I don't know if everybody knows. Do you know this one by heart? Could you recite it? You know, there are some verses of scripture every Christian ought to know. Because you need, when losses and challenges come in your life, things come in your life that you don't like what's happening, it's always good to be reminded of Romans 8, 28. Can you say it with me? And what? And we know, hold on, we what?
No.
Do you really know it?
No.
We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Yes, my brother. Yes, my sister. Even the drama in your life, the losses in your life, God is using these losses in your life for your good. Do you believe that today? So if we love Jesus, we don't have to ever give up. For despite the losses and reversals we may experience, God is able to work all these things, circumstances, to work together for our good. But this is only for the Christian. It's, what does the verse say? For those who what? Who love God. I wonder if I'm speaking to somebody this morning, young person, teenager. Do you love God? Oh, it starts by coming to know him as your Savior and then growing in him. But listen, teenager, older person, do you love God? This promise, if you want to be sure that all the circumstances and all the drama that you will ever experience will actually be working to your good and God's plan. My friend, listen, if you want that to be true of you, make sure you are one of those who love Jesus. Amen. And it can happen today, that today you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and open your heart to him. So first thing I wanted to share with you this morning is that God often uses our losses to move us to the victory side. Amen. But the second thing is God has vast, unclaimed territory for us on the victory side. And I am not giving an ad for unclaimed freight. Do they still have unclaimed freight? They used to do a lot of advertising back in the day. Unclaimed freight, you remember that? Yeah. But there's a lot of unclaimed territory. I'll soon explain what I'm talking about. Joshua chapter 1, let's pick up at verse 3. And we're going to read to verse 5. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes we miss this. The territory God gave Israel had, the Bible actually tell you what was the western border and what was the eastern border. What was the western border? The western border was the Great Sea, and the Great Sea, what is it called today? The Mediterranean Sea. So God is telling them that the border he's giving them on the west side is the Mediterranean Sea, and on the east side is the Great River. It's from the Great Sea to the Great River. And he tells you the name of the Great River. What's the name of the Great River? Help me, somebody. So God is saying, I'm giving you from the Mediterranean to the Euphrates. Have you ever taken time to check out how big that is? Did you know, according to Google Maps, at the nearest point, it's 1,358 miles. God is saying, I'm giving you a land that is so big, its width is 1,358 miles. So how wide is Israel at its widest point? You'll be shocked. 71 miles. Israel is 71 miles wide. No wonder when our folks went there the other day, they were so blown away. Everybody's like, wow, what a way it's narrow. All our enemies are right there. Here you are traveling on a road, and there's a fence, and on the other side of the fence is Syria with all the mines over there. What in the world happened? Why did God put them in such a box? God did not put them in a box. Israel occupies less than 5% of the land God gave them. Did you ever think of that? Less than 5%. There is a ton of unclaimed territory. This was not God's intention. This was not God's intention for God. Look at verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I have given you. I have given you. You see, God had given them the land, but stay with me now. It was a conditional promise. They would only get what they worked to claim. Are you with me this morning? They would only get what they worked to claim. They'd have to fight for it, because chances are whoever was there wasn't just going to pack up the house and move out. But God had guaranteed them success, didn't he? He had guaranteed them success. He had given it to them, and all this he said you would occupy. But once they thought they had enough, they refused to work anymore. But imagine how it would have impacted Israel's security even today if they had worked for all God had given them. Christian friends, if you don't work for all God has given you, it's not only going to affect you, it's going to affect your future generations. Oh, daddy, listen to me. Mommy, listen to you, to what God is saying. Your lackadaisical Christian life is is going to impact your children and your grandchildren. If you want to take it easy, if you feel you've had enough, you have enough right now, and you feel you fail to claim the territory God has. Because you better believe it. There is more territory for us to claim. There's a lot of unclaimed territory for us as Christians. So let me bring you there, because you're trying to figure out how in the world does this apply to us. But I'm saying, right, you can write this down. Many Christians refuse to complete the work required to claim all the territory God has for us. You see, we are saved by grace, but there's work. Amen? If we're going to progress and get everything all that God has, there is work to be done. For although we're on the victory side, there is still unclaimed territory that we will only possess by doing the work required to claim it. And so I want to take you to the book of Philippians chapter 2 and read a very well-known passage of scripture there. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, the word of God says there, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence," he says, "work." Does your Bible say work? He says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Now, I want to be clear. Work out your salvation does not mean we're to work for our salvation, for that's all by God's grace. Amen? But God, here's what the passage is saying. God is constantly at work in us, and he expects us to work out what he's working in. He's working in us, and we've got to work on the outside what God is doing. And as we keep working on the outside what God is working on the inside, little by little we are becoming more conformed to Jesus. Little by little we are seizing more of the territory that God intends us to have as we work out what God is working in. Amen. You know, a little boy kept falling out of bed. And so his mom started going in his room shortly after he went to bed at night. And after a few days, she figured out why he was falling out of bed. You know why he was falling out of bed? You're right. He was falling out because he was staying too close to where he got in. Are you getting the message? You know, a lot of Christians, they get saved, but they aren't much. They're almost exactly where they went in. They haven't explored deeper. They haven't delved deeper into the things of the Lord. They haven't grown in the Lord. They're right at the edge of where they got in. Some Christians say, "At least I'm in." Thank God you're in. But that's not God's plan. God's plan is for us to get away from the edge of the bed. Amen. Get away from the edge of the bed and keep moving on in Jesus and work out what God is working in our lives. And by as we do that, little by little, we are claiming more of the unclaimed territory. Little by little, we are seizing more of what God has for us. Little by little, we are becoming more like Jesus. Amen. And that is God's plan. God's plan is that every day I am more transformed into the likeness of Christ. And that transformation happens as I work. You see, sometimes those of us who believe in salvation by grace miss it. Grace, everything is of grace, yes, but there is effort required as well. I cannot sit at ease. I cannot leave my Bible alone and expect to grow. I'm not going to get it by osmosis.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world,
He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.